Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you.
He says, but do you want to know, verse 20, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead. And then he gives the example. He's going to give us two examples. Abraham was the greatest man in the Jewish line of people up to this time. Abraham was the man. I mean, everybody looked to Abraham. And Abraham is like the father of the faith, and he is. But you know what? If you went back and looked at Romans chapter 2 and 3 and 4, you would see that Abraham was saved by faith, that he believed, and that's what we'll see right here. And then you'll see it in Hebrews chapter 11. And he says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his Isaac, his son, on altar? See, we got two kinds of things we're dealing with here. There's the faith for God, where we say before God, I trust Jesus Christ. I want to go to heaven because I know what he did on that cross was enough to get me into heaven. That's the faith in Jesus, right? But what he's saying here, was he not justified? Or that word justified means to be legally declared righteous. What he's saying is before men and women, he was proven that he had been truly saved, is what he's saying. That works are the evidence. Works are the proof. The way your life is lived is the proof that you're going to heaven. When you look at your life, you can see that God has done a work in your life. I mean, it's kind of like this. You know, before you're saved, you live a certain life and you think it's okay to do certain things. But when you get saved, God will put his finger on stuff in your life and say, you can't do this. That's not right. And you will feel guilty about it, and you'll feel convicted about it, and because you feel convicted about it, what you're going to do? You will do something about it, right? Because God puts his finger on it, and you just can't keep living that way and be comfortable. Now, the people that aren't saved, they can live any way they want to, and it doesn't bother them, right? They go out and do anything they want to, and it's kind of like, well, I shouldn't be doing that, or I need to change my life, but they don't really do it, and they really don't have the ability to change their life. But God, because he lives in us, if we're saved, he lives in us, then we have the ability to change. And so he says, even the demons believe. And he says, the way Abraham proved that he was saved is because he went and took his son and he put him on the altar. And if you go to the book of Hebrews, it will tell you that Abraham believed that God could even raise his son up from the dead, doesn't it? It says that Abraham believed that if need be, that God could raise his son back from the dead. And that's what he believed. That if he needed to, that he would raise him up from the dead. You know, when we look at this, we see that God wants us to trust him and to believe in him. And you know, it's an amazing thing that God allows us to be part of his salvation. But we really don't have to doubt, folks. And I know some of you may be possibly doubting. If you do, if you got questions and you want to talk to me sometime, I'd be glad to spend time with you if you need me to and talk about this if you don't understand it. But the bottom line is you can't just say mentally, I believe in God and go to heaven. There has to be, the whole body has to be involved. There has to be a time and a place where you said, you know, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I can't make it to heaven on my own. God, forgive me. God, save me. Please come into my life and take me to heaven one day because of what Jesus did. That I can't get there on my own. See, the problem is when people start thinking they can get to heaven on their own. And they say, you know, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it by the skin of my teeth. You ever heard anybody say that? And they're sitting there, you know, got a cigarette in their hand and a beer in the other hand, and every word in the book's flying out their mouth. But I'm going to make it to heaven. You know, I'm going to make it by the skin of my teeth, but I'm going to make it to heaven. And, you know, and I'm looking at their life and I'm going, well, you know, your life doesn't evidence that there's been a change. And I'm not saying you can't do some of that if you're saved. But what will happen as your life goes on, God will convict you and you'll begin to clean that stuff up in your life. And then you finally get to the place where you're working on thoughts and attitudes as you grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so James wants us to understand that Abraham proved he was saved by what he did with his life. And that whole Hebrews 11, you ought to go read that. It's just a great chapter, and it just talks about all the things that people did because they were saved. Not how they got saved, but what they did because they were saved, because they trusted in God and they had great faith. And so we don't have to doubt God. We don't have to wonder if he's with us. I mean, that's why the whole book of Hebrews ends in chapter 13 and says, he will never leave you or never forsake you, right? He will never leave you. That's chapter 13, verse 5. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He says in verse 22, back in James, do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? In other words, he showed that he was saved. He was going to heaven because what he did. Because what does the next verse say? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham did what? He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Believing God is faith, right? John 3:16. God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life, right? It doesn't say believe and do good works. It doesn't say believe and be baptized. It doesn't say believe and join a church. It doesn't say believe and take communion. It doesn't say believe and do all these other things. It says whoever believes shall be saved. Romans chapter 10 says whoever calls on his name shall be saved. Not might be, not hope so, but shall be saved. And then it says, and he was called the friend of God because he believed God. He took him at his word. God said it. He believed it. That's salvation, right? God said that his son would die in our place. He would die for our sins. And we trust in that. Then we go to heaven. And look what he says. He says, verse 24, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. In other words, when a person looks at your life, they can see there's something different because of the way you live, the way you act, the things you do. That's what he says. And then he says, he talks about this worst example. Now, if Abraham was the best example, the father of the faith, the greatest man in Israel's history, guess who Rahab was? She was one of the least, right? You know what she was? She was a Moabitess, right? And the Bible says that a Moabitess couldn't go into the temple until the 10th generation. A Moabitess, she was also a harlot, a prostitute, whatever you want to call her. It says here, harlot. But what'd she do in Jericho when the spies came and checked out the area? What happened? She says, if you will protect me and my family, I've heard of this God of yours. I've heard of what y'all have done to these people. I've believed it. I've seen it. I know that your God is the true God, is basically what she did. And then what'd she do? She hung a scarlet thread in her window, right? You know what that scarlet thread was representative of? Jesus Christ, his blood shed, right? And that's what it represented. When they took down the whole city of Jericho, what happens? Rahab and her family are taken out alive and saved and protected. And Rahab goes into the Hall of Fame in chapter 11 of Hebrews, the Hall of Faith, the Hall of Fame, because it says she was proved she was saved by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way. what he does is he takes Abraham and he says, Abraham believed and it was counted for righteousness. Rahab did the same thing, basically. And they proved it by the way they lived. Now, like I said, you don't have to be a flaming evangelist. You don't have to be whatever. But you look at your life and you say, do I have a desire for the things of God? And don't get me wrong, folks. None of us do any of this stuff perfectly. Just because I preach and teach don't mean I'm nowhere near perfect. That's for sure. If you went home and asked my wife, she'd give you the lowdown, you know. I was listening to somebody preaching yesterday, and they said something about some of these people that claim they're saved and they claim they're perfect. And he says, well, you know, I'd just like to go home and ask their family. You know, go ask their coworkers. Go ask the people they're around all the time, are they perfect? And they would absolutely say no, right? And all of us have our moments, all of us have our times. But you know, those times where we do wrong and we don't live like we ought to exactly, those don't mean that we're not going to heaven. Because as long as we're on earth, we talked about that in Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, I have not arrived, I'm not attained, I'm not perfected, but I press on towards the goal, towards the prize, toward the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I hadn't made it. I hadn't arrived. None of us have. If Paul, the great apostle Paul that wrote 13 books in the New Testament, had been saved 30 years when he wrote the book of Philippians, said that, where does that leave us? We are going to mess up. But the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is a Christian, he'll feel bad about what he does. And he'll do something about it usually. Now there's times we get in sin and and I know all of us got our little pet areas and things we hang on to and some stuff we've struggled with maybe all our life. You know what? That's part of being a Christian. But notice what that key word was. Struggle. See, the people that aren't Christians, they don't struggle with stuff. They just do it and it doesn't really bother them. It's like, okay, well, I do this, but it's okay, or I'll change one day or something. You know, I always thought one day, before I was ever saved, I thought, well, you know, one day I'll clean up my life. I'll join the church. I'll clean up my life. I'll get married. I'll have some kids, and I'll straighten my life out. And one day I'll die and go to heaven, you know. That's kind of the lie we've been sold. But you don't straighten your life out. You don't clean your life up. You don't go to heaven one day just because you joined the church. You go to heaven because you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He died in your place. He did all of it. It's the old song. I guess we'll finish that one out today. 77. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He's the only one that could get us to heaven, right? There was no way to get to heaven, but Jesus made a way. And when we trust in that, believe in that, then that settles it. Don't let the devil make you doubt in the darkness what God has told you in the light. There's an old saying, don't doubt in the darkness what God's told you in the light. When you get in a tough spot, when you get in a rough spot, don't let the devil make you doubt your salvation. If you know that you know that you know there was a time and a place, and you don't even have to know the time and the place. You just need to know that somewhere along the line I realized that Jesus was God and he came in human flesh and he lived a perfect sinless life and he died in my place and he died for our sins and I cried out and said, Lord Jesus, save me. And somewhere along the line I came to believe that and trust in that. And that's what we need to do. You know, all the rest of the stuff, sometimes we make so much of it. We're not going to be perfect in this life. We're not going to be. Not that we don't try to be. But a Christian, when he sins, he's going to get right back up. I mean, you look at Abraham. He lied twice about his wife, didn't he? Let another man take his wife because he's afraid he's going to get killed. He says, tell everybody you're my sister. Well, she was his sister, his half-sister. And you could marry your half-sister back then, but can't now. But he says, you know, that way I won't get killed, right? He did that twice. Passed it on to his kids. He lied. He he got his wife in a bad spot, and Moses killed a man. Paul killed we don't know how many people. David had a man killed. He committed adultery. The great apostle Paul, he was a, you know, he said he was the chief of sinners, the least of the saints. But don't confuse here and there I do things wrong and just say, well, because I do something wrong every once in a while, that God has not forgiven me and God has not saved me. You know, I was in my Bible this morning, and I was over in Micah, and I got one little old spot in my Bible. They did a little chart. And in that chart, it says several things. It says, because God has forgiven me, that he has removed my sins as far as the east to the west. The east and the west, because they're not parallel, they never meet. Now, I don't understand that, but the Bible said it back 2,000-3,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago, and it's true. They don't meet. They never will. He says that God has thrown our sins behind his back. He's thrown them in the depths of the sea. He's trampled them under his feet. And it says he remembers our sins no more. And so you go read the book of Hebrews, and what it says, by faith, Abraham did this. By faith, Joshua did this. By faith, these people did this. And these people did some great stuff. And some of them just trusted in God for something. And that's what faith is just trusting God, believing in him. Just saying, you know, God, you said your son was enough to get me into heaven. I believe that. And, you know, there's times we all doubt. And sometimes we all wonder, well, did I really believe? Or, you know, is it really true? But those are just floating thoughts every once in a while. You know what I mean? We all have those thoughts, those doubts, those feelings. But just remember, it's Christ alone. Works do not play in to get you into heaven. They do not get you to heaven. The Bible said it so clear. By faith you are saved. It is the gift of God, right? I always use the illustration, it's not Christmas, but when, or say it's your birthday, and I bring you a present, and I say, here's a present, and you go, let me get my purse out, or let me get my wallet out. Let me give you some money for that. I would be upset, right? Because it is a gift. And the Bible says that God gives us salvation as a gift. It is free. You can either have it free or you can't have it at all. But in our human nature, we think we have to do something to pay for it, to earn it, to deserve it. But see, the Bible says that none of us are righteous. None of us deserve it. None of us can earn it. None of us can pay for it. And that's why God gives it to us as a free gift. And that's why the illustration, Jesus said, you have to be like a little child. You have to be like that little child. And that little child, you know, a little child when they're young, what do? They believe anything you tell them, right? I mean, they're so gullible, whatever you want to call it. They are just naive, and thank God for naivete, you know, that we believe people and trust in people, and that's what we need to be, is like a little child. And God said it, you know what, I believe it. And just trust in him and believe in him. And when you do, just say, thank you, God, that you've forgiven me. Thank you that you've saved me. And just let it go. And when the old devil comes and say, did God say, like he told Eve, you say, yeah, he did. And I believe it. I tell him what I tell him sometimes. I said, devil, why don't you go back to hell where you belong? You know, just leave me alone, because you know what? You're just making hell hotter for yourself. And you know what? The Bible says that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And 1 John, I love that chapter where he says, let me just read that and we'll finish with that. 1 John chapter 5. I wanted to read that. And that'll be the last thing I say, and we'll quit today. But he says in verse 4, well, actually back up to verse 2. Let's just back up to verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's pretty simple, isn't it? If you believe Jesus is the Christ, believe he's God in human flesh, he died for your sins, you're born of God. You've been born again. And then what he said in John 3, you must be born again. And everyone who loves him, who begot him, also loves he who is begotten him. That's a little more confusing. In other words, if we love God and we're loved by God, then we love other people, right? And then here he sums it up. He says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So we love people. We keep God's commandments. And he says that his commandments are not burdensome. In other words, they aren't hard for us because we trust in God and we love God. We want to keep his commandments. We don't have to, but we want to. That's what the Bible says. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Did you get that? For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Overcomes all the sin and all the junk. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. How do you overcome the world and sin and Satan and all the things? By faith. You just trust God no matter what comes your way, no matter what happens. And then he says, who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And so today, folks, if you have doubts, just say, God, forgive me. God, save me. And say, thank you, God, that you heard me. And I know that you did, and we're going to settle it right here, right now, and we won't bring the subject up no more, right? And then what do you say? Say, and that settles it. I don't want to hear no more about it, and just leave it alone. Well, I hope and pray that each and everyone know that you know that you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven because you have trusted in Jesus and Jesus alone. That's the way to get to heaven, and I just wanted to kind of bring that up because I know y'all deal with a lot of people passing on and stuff, and I know sometimes, I know even my grandmother, when she got older, she, you know, was kind of doubting and called the preacher and stuff, and you know, but the bottom line is folks, we don't have to doubt, because 1 John 5:13 says, you know, these things have been written that you may know that you have eternal life. You don't have to hope so. When I ask people sometimes, I say, y'all going to heaven? They say, well, I hope so. I think so. The Bible says you don't have to hope so. You don't have to think so. But you can know so because God said it and I believe it. Well, let's pray and then we'll sing verse number 77. Father, we thank you that your word is so clear. Lord, I pray that we would just continue to trust in you and believe in you no matter what because you said it, we believe it. Without faith, it's impossible to please you. So, Father, you said faith is the substance, the confidence that things are going to happen the way you said they would. And it's the realization that you're in control and that it is what you said it would be, Lord, that you're in control, you sit on the throne, and no matter what it looks like sometimes, it's okay because you're still on the throne. And one day it's all going to turn out just like you said in Revelation chapter 22. That it's all going to turn out just your way. And in the end, you win. And when you win, we win because we're on your side. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's sing number 77. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. But he washes me white as snow.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Those in the nursing home facilities are locked up in bodies that do not work, in a wheelchair, and a bed. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems. Some have told us we want to have a real family because their parents have lost or given up custody of them. Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up at the jails and the prisons, to those locked up in addictions, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, to those locked up in a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us abundant life, joy, and set us free, and these people that we minister to are not free. Our desire is to show them, whatever their background, no matter what they've done, to see how much God loves them. We seek to help them receive forgiveness and freedom from their sin in Jesus Christ. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham area. We have recently expanded our ministry to the Lexington, Columbia, South Carolina area. We do over 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you will support us in some way that so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button, or send it via regular mail to Post Office Box 1881, Lexington, South Carolina 29071. We hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you and God bless you. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8:32.